from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Training camp's great because, you know, we get to see, just as well as OTAs, you know, just see what everybody's capable of doing. And everybody is, you know, looking to take that next step right now.
I think it's just with experience. The more reps you get and the more time you get actually, like, playing the game and being on the field. And I think that only makes you better.
You know, getting my very first rep with training camp, I felt good. I'm just ready to play football and go out there and make plays for my teammates.
Day two of camp is in the books.
Mike Danger.
Man, what a treat to be here for practice earlier today, kind of take it all in. We have some notes that we can share from today's session, things that we saw, things that we learned.
Gene Battaglia.
And if I had to give you kind of an overall feel of practice this morning, I guess it's kind of the feel overall of camp so far. Everything seems to be running smooth. Yeah. No contracts, no injuries.
Yeah. 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Bills training camp, and we appreciate you stopping by and tuning in at 95.7 FM, AM 950, The Fan Rochester, and the free-to-download Odyssey app, your smart device, when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan, and also our stream is up and rolling for you. Live from St. John Fisher, you can watch the Sports Bar on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, and we're streaming on Twitch at The Fan Rochester as well. I'm Danger. That's Battaglia.
Yeah, and just like most days that we're out here, Danger, everything's kind of cleared out. The fans have left. Media types doing their thing around us right now. And your headline story from camp today is, well, everything's going so far so good. I mean, if you're one that loves drama, and of course we love it too here in the Sports Bar to a certain extent, but I'm sure Sean McDermott, Brandon being happy with the way camp is going, because another good practice today. Cam Lewis was shaken up for maybe for a play, but other than that, though, everything's smooth sailing
so far.
Well,
things might be quiet now here at St. John Fisher. Of course, things were buzzing earlier, and as things were buzzing, we're capitalizing on that energy, talking to a lot of bright minds and people here covering both locally and nationally, covering the Buffalo Bills. Today, we're going to talk to a lot of those people. We've got no shortage of content to share with you this afternoon here in the Sports Bar. Just to set the table for you, we were joined a few moments ago by CBS Sports' Evan Washburn. Had a great conversation with him. He'll be stopping by. You'll hear that conversation coming up here at 4:25.
Yeah, as he is making his rounds camp to camp. He was in Houston yesterday, so we'll get his thoughts there on what he's seeing with Stephon Diggs. But kind of, he haven't talked to Sean McDermott today, and it's kind of interesting. You know, you might be wondering what did he get out of Sean McDermott. I can tell you, you know, I give you, you know, 100 guesses, you wouldn't guess it. So right. We'll talk to, you know, Evan Washburn. We'll have that for you coming up in the 4 o'clock hour.
Our buddy Josh Reed also stops by in the 4 o'clock hour from WIVB in Buffalo. We had a chance to catch up with Josh earlier today, get his observations from not just day one of camp, but also this entire offseason. Looking forward to preseason here with Josh Reed from WIVB.
Yeah, and Josh sees things that you know, he's out there for practice. We talked to him about the safeties here, the wide receivers, and some little nuggets there that Josh Reed, WIVB, will be kind of sharing with us. I know Josh stayed overnight last night, and he's just kind of telling me, just he's noting all the work that Mac Hollins is putting in off to the side, things that people don't see here that, you know, are off hours. So I beginning to wonder here, Danger, like guys that you may think, oh, they're not making the roster. I think Mac Hollins.
He's making the roster.
What about our guest coming up from the Buffalo
Bills? Well, this one's interesting, and this is our highlight of the day. We had a chance earlier today to catch up with Buffalo Bills wide receiver K.J. Hamler. And what's exciting about this is, yeah, K.J. Hamler, a lot of Penn State listeners, Penn State fans listen to our show, and we know that you remember K.J. Hamler, and you probably have very fond memories of his time at Penn State. He was a baller at Penn State, second-round draft pick of the Denver Broncos, and he hasn't been able to really stay healthy, you know, struggled to stay on the field in Denver. Ends up on the Indianapolis practice squad in 2023. And at the end of the season, they didn't, you know, give him a futures deal. He gets plucked by the Buffalo Bills. You forget, in January, K.J. Hamler was on this Bills practice squad.
Yeah, yeah, getting acclimated and everything. And sometimes the best interviews, Danger, are when you go places where you prepare and you figure, but trust me when I tell you, K.J. Hamler has a story that you want to listen to, and when you hear it, you're like, oh, you're going to pull for this guy to make the final 53.
Yep, that's somebody you're going to be rooting for to make the final 53. Buffalo Bills wide receiver K.J. Hamler making plays here on the practice field at St. John Fisher University. He stopped by the sports bar earlier today. We'll have that interview for you, that conversation, coming up here at 3:25. And then if you miss it, we'll get it on again during happy hour, coming up here at 5 o'clock. Your calls are always welcome. You can pull up a stool at 866-4FAN, 866-4326. We also today heard from Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady for the first time during training camp.
Yeah, and for that matter, it still is new for Joe Brady. I mean, he wasn't the offensive coordinator for camp last year, and so how much of this is going to be different? I think one thing in his press conference I found very interesting, talking about one thing he changed right away his first week. If you remember the timeline, it's the Monday night game against Denver. There's a change in offensive coordinator. Joe Brady on a short week has to take over. He had the team practice celebrations. Just not just the quarterback and wide receiver. When you score a touchdown, that should be everything. And Danger, you see that kind of carrying over to camp here. It's fun. When the good play for the offense, guys are pumped up for one.
No shortage of good plays today on the practice field as well. We'll recap that through the course of the afternoon. And be your ears and eyes at Buffalo Bills training camp here at St. John Fisher University. We'll start right now with Joe Brady, who spoke to the media before practice today. Joe Brady from Buffalo Bills training camp, day two here on the Fan Rochester.
Johnny, your takeaways from Keon, his first training camp practice, got involved early and often, that great catch near the pylon, just your overall impressions on a good first day?
Yeah, I think you can see the work that he put in, you know, the last month. It was important to him not just to get away and just enjoy a summer. You know, he took it upon himself to, hey, make sure he's still working on his craft, and, you know, had some opportunities yesterday and kind of made the most of them. And you know, I think that kind of just kind of shows who he is. So it's just a matter of just the consistency, right? And, you know, you can have one day, but can you follow it up? And I think that's what you got to do to be a great receiver, great player. So excited to see him today.
Hey, Joe, tough slate for Dawson last year, injury-wise. He's up to full strength. What kind of options does he give you?
I mean, he's huge for offense. He does so much, from a leadership standpoint, just him being around. But just him in the pass game, he's such a unique skill set with what he can do as a receiver. And just seeing the growth that he's put with Coach Boris in the run game, you know, he's a complete tight end. So just having him, Dalton, Q, just the versatility that we have, it gives us a lot of options. So, you know, it hurt us not having him last year, so I'm excited to see him kind of moving around in full speed. He's a huge asset for us.
Hey, Joe, in terms of James Cook last year, heavy workload, more than he's ever had in, you know, going back probably to high school. Is that a concern at all
moving forward, and he had like, I don't know, over 300 touches counted in plays.
No, I think, look, sometimes it's a benefit, especially in college when they don't have a crazy workload, because, you know, that's wear and tear on your body, whether you're carrying the ball in high school or college. Sometimes it's like, hey, they can be a workhorse back, whatever that might mean, but that's a lot of touches and hits that they put on them in college. I think, you know, we'll see how Jimbo goes, but, you know, when you look at Jimbo, I think I said it in spring, he looks different. He's stronger. He's more put together. You can tell he put in a lot of work. It's important to him, and so I'm excited to just can see him to continue to evolve and get better.
Joey, when you talked about this being Josh Allen's playbook, not my playbook, how over the years have you seen him take ownership of it, and especially this year with all the new people that have to be introduced to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the first training camp I was here, I was trying to figure it all out, you know, and sometimes I'm asking him just what he's thinking, and so you kind of, you see how much he's matured in the offense in terms of the ownership of just teaching the guys exactly what he's seeing and not just, hey, I know where that guy's going to be, I'm going to throw it to him, but like, hey, guys, this is what I'm thinking. Let's stop the tape. This is where my feet are. You got to be at this spot because of that. And just seeing that growth where I can kind of take a step back and allow him to communicate a lot more. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and he kind of has to do that because we – you know, we had a lot of receivers in the past that have played in this offense and kind of already knew those things. And so it's been a lot of fun just seeing him just kind of take that and kind of roll with it and understand how important it is that we do have new guys and that it's important for them to understand what he's thinking, not just running a play. Because at the end of the day, they're the ones out there doing it. And so that's what I love about training camp. That's what I love about being here is he's with those guys at all times, and they're just – they're attached to his hip, and it's fun to watch.
You took over with 8 games last year to go. You can't install a whole new offense, obviously. You have to have some things to carry over. But now you've had kind of a full offseason without giving away strategy, of course. How much can carry over? How much is new? Is it a complete overhaul maybe of a year ago, or is there a lot of mixed-in stuff?
I think no matter what, whether you're from year to year, you know, the game of football is growing, and if you continue to do the same thing over and over, well, we're all studying each other, the defenses are evolving, eventually, you know, it's going to hit a point. And so I think regardless if you're the best offense in the league, in order to stay the best offense in the league, you got to continue to grow and evolve, and you get new pieces, and so the offense has to change regardless. And so it was a great opportunity for us to kind of take a step back and figure out exactly who we have and try to build an offense around that. You know, we signed a lot of pieces in free agency and then in the draft of then trying to mix and match and put them all together. And, you know, and so we're still a product of it. We got, you know, all training camp to kind of see kind of exactly who we're going to be and put guys in places and see, hey, can we do this? Can this be something that will be a huge part of us? Or is this something, hey, you know what, maybe this kind of goes down the road and we got to focus on something else. And so every day there's intention behind what we're doing, and whether it works or doesn't, that's not the, I'm not concerned with the results right now. I'm just concerned with kind of like how we're doing it. And so it's been a lot of exciting. I know that doesn't give you much, but you guys were able to see a little bit.
Yesterday, Josh talked about downfield passes for you in Carolina. He was used a lot more as a possession receiver in Washington. I mean, when we ask who does the defense have to respect downfield, you see among the receiving corps, is Samuel a guy you think that can threaten them?
I mean, I think you have to respect everybody. I don't think speed is the only thing that impacts whether defenses are worried about guys going downfield. If you look across the league, there's certain guys, like a 40 time doesn't necessarily tell you if you're a downfield threat or not. Size sometimes plays into factor of that, what type of route you actually can run, how you track a football. There's so many more things than just speed elements to it. And so I feel confident in the receiver room that we have, that we have the ability to stretch the field if we want, the guys to be able to go up with footballs if we have to. And so not necessarily just Curtis, but I feel excited about the rest of the room.
Yesterday, Josh talked about the intelligence of the wide receiver room, and he even brought up how much motion you guys ran on day one, and it seemed like he was almost talking about how you're almost force-feeding some of the new guys. Is there a sense of that, needing to get these new guys up to speed a lot quicker than maybe in the past?
No, there's always an urgency, right? This is the NFL, but I'm the big believer, and there's a reason the guys that we have in here, the character, the intelligence that you kind of talk about, that was a big reason they're here. And so you're able to do those things because of the personnel that you have. And I think it's important. I want guys to mess up now. Like, there might be times where we mess up in practice and I have a smile on my face, and I know that's such an awful mindset, but I want the guys to be okay with failing because it's an opportunity for us to learn. But if everything always just goes well, then sometimes we're not learning as much watching tape. And so if you put a lot on their plate, not too much, you know, and so that's a struggle that I always have, is like, hey, what's the fine line? But I think if you put a lot on their plate, it really puts a lot of onus on them of making sure, hey, I'm the attention to detail, like, hey, can I handle it? Because it's such a new room. This is tight ends, receivers, running backs speaking. It's all new. And if it's important to them and they can show that they can handle it, they can play, because you're going to earn every rep. And so, I was pleased with seeing how the guys were able to operate and communicate yesterday.
Hey, Joe, you talk about failure, but success. We saw yesterday guys celebrating when they score. I think Josh even mentioned that something. What's your philosophy on that? I mean, it's practice. You're going against your team. But when you have success, touchdowns and all that, guys embracing the success that you have during practice.
Yeah, it's you know, I grew up, and there was times where it was like, hey, act like you've been there before. And so I completely understand that. But, man, football's hard. It's hard. You can be the best offense in the NFL going against the 32nd ranked team, and it's still going to be hard to score. Like, that's just the reality of it. This is the NFL. And when you score touchdowns, it's not just one person scoring that touchdown. It took a whole drive, or it took 11 people. And so part of what I'm trying to emphasize here, what Coach McDermott's trying to emphasize, we have a lot of new guys, but us doing it all together. And if we really emphasize that everyone eats mindset, is you can see when people score, are we celebrating together? You know, yesterday, you know, you're scoring some touchdowns and you're seeing James Cook on a passing touchdown. James Cook, Deion, Josh are the first ones there celebrating. Well, that speaks so loudly to me. And so seeing those guys celebrate, having fun, you know, it's a red zone practice, there should be a good amount of touchdowns, right? It's a little different when it's a first and second down day or whatnot, but just really put an point of emphasis with it. I remember when I took over last year, the first red zone practice we had that week of the Jets week, I mean, I think our O-line was gassed for the amount that I was making them kind of run to go celebrate with the guys. And you know, you saw that first game, Khalil scoring or Ty Johnson scoring, and just seeing those guys run and celebrate with them, and it's important. And it might not look like it, but I think it is. And you want to see the type of team that you're going to have, see how the guys respond when guys score. If they really believe in the everyone eats mindset, see how everybody looks when they score. And so just day one, but pleased with some of that. As long as they're doing it together. This isn't, you know, we had a couple TikTok dances that I don't know about that I wasn't too much of a fan of, but yeah.
Which is your favorite celebration?
My favorite celebration is whenever they – I prefer offensive line getting the spikes. And, you know, you always grade a good spike if the ball leaves the screen. So, you know, and you guys don't necessarily get to see that. But that's my favorite ones. The O-line are the reason we're scoring touchdowns. So when they're doing it, let's give them some love, and then we can they can have a little fun watching it as well.
Hey, Joe, in your coaching career, either play caller or in other roles, during these first couple weeks of fall camp, how often do you run something so well that night you red check mark and say, I want to get to this at some point?
I think you're, to me, it's, you never get enough reps, right? It's just a reality. You can walk through stuff. To me, it's all about frequency. It's even if it's just routes, you know, you're never going to get enough time on task. And it's not about in order to get good at a play or a route, it's about how many times you run it. So even if it works against, you know, one look or one coverage, it's like, man, I hope the next time we get this, we get a bad look and Josh has to make another decision or whatnot. So I think your core concepts, but I'm not thinking about, you know, week one, week two right now. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what can be our core concepts that we can kind of roll with and hope that, hey, we're not always throwing our first progression, and just seeing the comfort level of him having to make, the quarterbacks having to make decisions moving across, and where they feel comfortable with the play, just not the first read.
Early on. This camp, at least, or OTAs also, a need to get Dalton Kincaid downfield more than last year. There was a lot of stuff close to the line last year, and he's got that talent to get down the safety. Are you trying to devise ways to get him more involved down the field?
Right now, we're kind of in the process of just trying to see what all of our guys can do. You know, and just their different skill sets. It's such a I'm so excited about the group that we have, the tight ends and the receivers, because it's so many different skill sets. And you hope that that versatility allows it to play a little harder on defenses to defend of, hey, this guy can run short, but he also can push vertical, and it's not only certain guys doing certain things. And so I think you guys saw a couple yesterday of just seeing Dalton do some things going vertical. We know we saw that he can do that last year. And so something that I hope for all of our guys, you know, that's a part of their repertoire.
Early on, what's been the experience competing not only against the defense, but Bobby in his new role, both of you guys trying to assert yourselves in different ways on your side of the ball? When a guy who brings that much energy on the other side, what's it like competing against his unit?
We're going to be the offense that we want to be because of our defense. They make us better. They challenge us. And Bobby, me and Bobby go at it. I love it on tape, you know, when, you know, in a red zone period, when right after a play he has to look at his next script because it didn't go well for him. You know, we're naturally competitive, right? And I know it's such a stupid thing because I'm not doing a thing besides reading a play. That's what I do at practice, right? Real tough. There's a reason he's a defensive coordinator, man, being able to pick his brain. But just what our defense does, it really challenges us. And I think sometimes people think it's a simple scheme, but there's a reason it's had so much success for so many years. And a big reason why our offense has been what we've been is because of our defense.
Can you match his colorful language, or do you find yourself having to match how colorful he is out there on the practice field?
Well, I got sent a video of me mic'd up one day, and there was a lot of beeps, and so I wasn't too pleased of that, with that, and so I catch myself. My colorful. I'm not proud of my colorful language, but I am competitive. I wasn't a very good football player, but I get out there, I get excited, and I wish I can be a little better about it, but it does naturally come out.
Keon is a prototypical X, obviously. You like your receivers to be versatile. Is it too much to ask? Do you envision him eventually, you know, being able to be used in different spots like Gabe was on 10-10?
Yeah, we don't have positions. I think the way that we taught the offense, we just taught everything conceptually. These are three-man concepts. These are two-man concepts. These are full-field progressions. And so if I ask the guy, hey, what do you have on this play, they should be asking me, well, what's the formation? What position am I playing on that play? Not like, hey, I'm the X, so I have this. And so it really forces the guys to understand, like, hey, on any given moment, you know, you can be on any of these spots, and you got to know it. And formationally, we can change it, move it around. That was a big thing, a big point of emphasis. I don't want the guys memorizing a play and what they have, that specific route. They got to know it all. So that's been a big point.
Joe, what do you need to see from Khalil Shakir throughout the early part of his training camp this season to kind of show he's taking that next step and evolving in this offense?
The last 10 games of the season, you know. Khalil Shakir is, as consistent as they come. And, a big thing I told him is, like, I don't need him to feel like he needs to do anything more. He doesn't. You know, just continue being Khalil Shakir. His consistency as a wide receiver, he speaks so loudly to the quarterbacks, the way that he runs routes, and just continues to make plays. And Josh has the utmost confidence in him. So I don't need him to do anything else besides be Khalil Shakir and just continue to stack the days like he does on a consistent basis.
Behind James, you have quite a few guys battling for spots. What do you look for, like, to kind of separate at the end of the day? They're all going to do their job, but from pass protection to route concepts to be able to do versatility, short yardage, what do you look for when it comes to separating those guys?
You're saying for the running backs?
Yes, behind James.
You know, the reality of it with a lot of this stuff is, like, right now we're still in just helmets. You know, like, football's played in pads. You know, I can say the same thing with the wide receivers. Like, when the pads come on, I want to be able to see who plays with size and who plays with pads on. Same thing with the running backs, right? And you want to be able to have complete running backs that can be able to play, you know, run out of the back and run the football first and foremost, and then be able to make plays out of the backfield and protect where, hey, when certain guys aren't on the field, defenses know what's kind of happening. So that's a big point. Everyone's going to have to earn it, but to me, specifically with the running backs, like, I just want to be able to see how they play with the pads come on. And I know that's such a cop-out answer, but that's an important thing for me. And I know it's throughout everybody, like, I know the results I'm kind of talking about, but, like, I'm a big proponent of, just because we had success on a player, just because they did it right, if it's not the way that we're asking of it, we're not going to be like, hey, good job. And then when they do the exact same thing and it doesn't go wrong, we're correcting it. And so really just trying to harp on the how right now with the guys. And so it might be a one-on-one rep that a guy loses, and it was my favorite rep in practice because he tried working some of the technique that, you know, we're trying to preach that's going to allow him to ultimately have success in the long run. But he might have lost that rep, and it might look like, man, I lost the rep. Well, if you do the way that you might have won the rep but the wrong technique, eventually it's not going to work. And so that's a big thing that we're kind of working on. And with the running back room, when the Pats can run and pass pro is, you know, some of it you don't do in college for some of the young guys. Now, I know we drafted some that obviously had to do it, but that's always the thing when the pads come on is seeing how those guys kind of respond with it and to our technique and how we kind of do it. And as long as they're working that, that's what I'm more concerned with than the results of how it kind of works.
Offense building trust with each other, feeling comfortable around each other, building chemistry, whether it's on the field, in the meeting room, or off the field, what do you want to see out of this group over the next 2 weeks?
You know, we kind of started this back, you know, the first meeting we talked about in the offseason training, like, I really believe when it's, you know, when we're playing, you know, with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl and it's the last drive of the game, and Bill Walsh talked it, you know, way back when of, you know, when Josh gets in the huddle and he looks around and there's 10 other guys in there and they're all looking at each other, you know, they're playing because they love one another and they're playing, you know, not just with each other, but they're playing for one another. And in order, that's going to have success. Well, you do that because you build it from the offseason to training camp, and those guys taking it upon themselves to go to Nashville or do things together. That's what I think is so much, it's so much more than just what you guys see on the football field. And that's what we're trying to promote here, is that intentionality about not just being around the guys, but being about the guys, because we enjoy being around our guys and we love our guys, and then we're going to do whatever we can so that he has success. And I think that leads to success. And so that's a big thing that we're kind of preaching here, is making sure that you're with your guys, your boys, and doing everything you can together. And I think that that leads to success.
Joe, what's it been like getting to know a little bit more about Mac Hollins? Interesting personality, no shoes, no utensils. What's it kind of been like getting to know him?
One of my favorite players. Honestly, probably one of my favorite people I've ever met. You know, like, he's, you know, he's I'm becoming more grounded because of him. You know, started walking around barefoot yesterday. You know, and you look around, there's 10 other guys barefoot, right? And so, but that kind of speaks to who he is. Like, guys want to follow him. You know, he's the first one up here yesterday. You know, he was here before the strength coach. You know, he's out here working, you know, dripping in sweat. It's 5 a.m. After practice, you guys see, he just doesn't want to stop. He just goes. So much energy. I love his style of play, the way that he plays, but his personality, man, it's so fun. And he, we really embrace that here in Buffalo. Like, we want guys to be themselves. And I hope the city of Buffalo enjoys him walking out in the snow barefoot. I don't know if that's going to be a good idea. He hasn't really had to experience that yet, but just embrace, you know, the city of Buffalo does a great job in this organization, embraces, you know, the guys for who they are. And Matt Collins is going to be a stud for us, both on the field and off.
Earlier today, before practice, live from Buffalo Bills training camp, it's a sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
In a wind tunnel here.
Yeah, a little bit. We're just sitting here, minding our own business, listening to the words of offensive coordinator Joe Brady, and a gust of wind whips up the table that Steve Tasker and Chris Brown were just... Startled me a little bit, Gino. Didn't expect that table to actually take flight and flip. You heard the expression, flip tables. The wind just flipped the One Bills live table here at the Pelicano Pavilion.
Yeah, I picture, you know, the guys, maybe one of them driving back like, yeah, your table just flipped over there. We'll set it back up for you. Are you into this walking barefoot thing?
I was going to ask you know, about that, because what Brady is saying there is true, and you've got other teammates walking around and embracing this kind of living grounded lifestyle where your feet are always in the ground and on the ground barefoot. I mean, the answer to the question for me is a hard no. I mean, am I walking into my house with dirty-ass feet? No.
There are people, and you and I are not world travelers, but there are people that swear by this as a way to combat jet lag. The first thing you do when you set foot in a different time zone, get barefoot, walk around, get... I don't know how that actually works. Maybe it's something with your mind and body, kind of. But there are benefits supposedly to walking barefoot. Me, I'm the guy that would, you know, step on a pebble there or twist my ankle or do something like that.
I have no problem with Mac Hollins wanting to be barefoot all the time. I think it's great. I like that he's kind of marches to his own drummer, marches to the beat of his own drummer there, and that other teammates are following. But for me, if listen, I ain't wearing my shoes in the house. You know, the carpet gets any sort of dirt or grime or anything tracked in. You think I'm not going to hear the end of it from my wife? No way. No dirty feet in the house. Get out of here. The girls try to do it. They're kids. The girls will walk around outside barefoot, and as soon as they come in, your feet are dirty. Clean your feet. Dirty-ass feet.
So here's my question. If we end up with Mac Hollins at some point coming on our set here at St. John Fisher, do we go barefoot for
the
interview?
Barefoot. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we have to.
We'll go barefoot.
Yeah.
As a sign of solidarity. Absolutely go barefoot. Yeah, that was interesting from Joe Brady. And the Mac Hollins legend continues to grow here. Every year there's a name that kind of emerges and a name that people kind of spend a lot of time talking. Mac Hollins is that guy at this year's training camp. He's really kind of embraced his role with this team.
There's something X and OE there, so to speak, that I think you can pluck out of that. And being, hey, where's Keon Coleman going to line up? Is he the X? Is he the Y? No, you got to learn everything. So, do we 100% believe that's true, Danger, or is it just kind of a, hey, you don't need to know, I don't want anybody to know, who is going to be the receiver in the slot or lining up on the outside? To what degree do you think that Brady is actually trying to get everybody learning everything?
I actually think that there's accuracy to that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And furthermore, you have the versatility, and we'll talk more with our next guest, KJ Hamler, Bills wide receiver, is going to stop by. You've got a group of wide receivers with immense size that we haven't seen, and it's depth and size. And you also have the same thing on the other side of the wide receiver room with smaller guys that might have a little bit more speed, a little bit more separation, maybe a little bit more handsy. And if all of them know all of the positions on the field, who's to say that Keon Coleman doesn't line up in the slot, where, by the way, a lot of scouts said coming out of college that's where he should play in the NFL, much like an Amon-Ra St. Brown has emerged in Detroit. Maybe that's the role eventually for Keon Coleman, where he shines rather than being on the outside. So with that versatility and with the full complement of skill sets that you have with this wide receiving core, Joe Brady, whereas yesterday Sean McDermott said, I don't know what to do with all these utensils when I look at my silverware drawer, Joe Brady, I think, has a pretty good idea of how he wants to utilize and use all these guys if they know all of the positions on the field.
We have one non-football story here. Dylan Cease just threw a no-hitter for San Diego. They beat Washington 3-0.
Congratulations, Dylan Cease. You've now done something that over 300 other major leaguers have done. But we'll continue to celebrate this feat of, and especially in the,
actually,
baseball world that we live in now, that's probably a big
deal. That
is
like, going all nine innings there. Yeah. Ask any Paul Skeens or Pirate fan.
Yeah, absolutely right. All right, coming up next in the sports bars, we take a break here from St. John Fisher University and Bills Camp Live. We speak with Buffalo Bills wide receiver KJ Hamler, and believe us when we tell you that KJ Hamler has a very interesting story and unique path to the Buffalo Bills, and he'll open up and share some of that with us next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
A Fan Rochester Sports Update.
A cooler morning practice here at St. John Fisher University. Owner Terry Pegula was on hand to watch. Dalton Kincaid on getting that chemistry down with QB1.
I feel pretty good. Again, it's just, you know, spending that time with Josh and having that chemistry and just being on the same page with him. And I feel like, you know, as camp goes on, you know, we're going to have good days, we're going to have bad days, but just building upon it and just, you know, just staying at a consistent pace.
Next practice here at Fisher coming up tomorrow morning. Coming up next in the sports bar, we'll talk to wide receiver KJ Hamler. Dylan Cease of the Padres throwing a no-hitter this afternoon. San Diego over Washington by a 3-0 score. The Mets and Braves tonight taking on the action at Citi Field. Rochester Red Wings have lost now 7 of their last 8. Today the Wings falling to Lehigh Valley 11-4. Same two teams tomorrow night at Innovative Field. We're live from Buffalo Bills training camp at St. John Fisher University.
Meet
Team Battaglia,
on the
Fan
rocks.
Rochester.
It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Day 2 of Buffalo Bills training camp. We are live from St. John Fisher University.
Excited to talk to one of the newcomers, KJ Hamler. Welcome to Western New York. Welcome to Rochester. KJ, how are you today?
Man, blessed. I can't complain, man. Another day, another dollar.
Yeah?
And just blessed to be back on the field.
A little bit cooler today than it was yesterday. So,
ooh, hey.
Too cold?
I'm from Detroit, so...
You're okay with this?
Yeah, I'm from the cold.
All right, so talk a little bit about what we've got going on here with you and your career, KJ, because we love seeing you here. Most people in this region remember you from your time at Penn State. A lot of Penn State fans listening. We are.
Penn State?
Comeback bit here for you, here with Buffalo. Talk about your journey through your time at Penn State, being selected by the Broncos in the second round, and the path that's kind of led you to where we are here today in Buffalo.
Yeah, I feel like my life has been all about adversity, you know, so far. I think I came into Penn State red-shirted, coming from my first ACL injury, and proved myself the next 2 years being a two-time All-American there, and, you know, didn't get to go to a natty, but, you know, I think I solidified myself and had a great team around me. And then being picking up by the Broncos in the second round. And, you know, still I think my life is still dealt with adversity, and I'm just here to change that around.
You brought up the injuries in the ACL, and you're coming back, and now you're healthy here. Talk about not just the physical rehab, but maybe the mental side of it too. How difficult is that when the rest of the football world's kind of moving on without you, and you got to still try to work your way back?
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, I try to harp on we still human. You know, I know, you know, football doesn't make us, you know what I mean? So it was a time that I didn't want to, you know, be on this earth anymore. You know, I had a lot of stuff going on. I had the injury. My cousin passed away and my grandmother passed away, and I just went down the hill. Oh. And so I had to find a way to dig myself out of it. I checked myself into therapy, which the hardest part is checking yourself in. But once you're in, you know, it becomes easier every day by day. So, you know, I had to really be a grown man and you know, find ways to cope with my problems the healthy way and not the negative way. And I thank my parents, I thank the people around me, my friends, family, for all having my back through all that time. So I'm blessed to be here.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a time where we weren't a lot of talk about that sort of stuff. You're kind of an inspiration for some folks here, yeah. The way you're kind of dealing with it.
I would say, you know, one thing my coach always said, vulnerability gains trust. So, you know, I had to be vulnerable with the people around me and just give them trust in the little small circle that I, you know, that I communicate with. So, you know, it's been ups and downs, but that's what life about. You got to go through hell first to reach paradise. So,
well, and KJ, I mean, talk about it. I mean, like, it's one thing coming back from an ACL not once, but then coming back from it twice. And then on top of that, you had all these other adversities that you just shared with us. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for being vulnerable with us. I mean, yeah, everybody's got to be pulling for you when you hear a story like that. This is somebody, you're somebody who it seems like knows how dark it can get, yeah. And how to pull yourself up out of that darkness to reach that light.
And I think with that, I try to, you know, come in here with a smile on my face every day. You know, I think you'll never know if I'm really going through something, you know, because I feel like the field is my escape place. And, you know, when I'm around the guys, when I'm around ball, I just forget about all the problems I got outside of here. So the field is one of my coping mechanisms as well. So, you know, I come in here every day with a smile on my face, blessed, because, you know, not every day promised.
Yeah, KJ Hamler joining us here. How do you think you fit in on the field here? Because it's not you. There's a lot of guys in this wide receiver room. Yeah. Do you see your team making this team perhaps on special teams there, KJ?
Yeah, you know, we got a deep receiver room. You know, I want to make an impact in the return game as well. You know, but any way I can help on offense to be a playmaker, deep threat, you know, being in on third down, being that route runner that they need, you know, I want to be that guy.
Talk a little bit about this receiving core. You mentioned its depth. I feel like it's deep in two ways, because on one side, you got the size guys, right? Yeah. Like, there's plenty of size when you got Keon and Mack, Chase, and Shorter, and so on and so on. Then you have Curtis. By the way, I mean, you okay with Curtis, Ohio State? Are you guys going to be all right this season?
Honestly, me and Kurt and Keon are probably the coolest on that.
So you got Curtis.
I don't like him because he's a Buckeye. Yeah, right. I don't like them Buckeyes, but, you know, I respect Kurt, though.
But you got Khalil, you got Andy. And bring it up, because I wonder if you've been a part of a wide receiver room that looks like it really has clearly defined roles and depth with the size guys versus the guys that are, you know, faster, more separation, better hands maybe. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that dynamic.
Man, you know, you got a lot of sleepers too. Me and Tyrell Shavers played on the same opening team in high school.
No kidding.
Yeah, me, Tyrell, and Trey McKitty. So, you know, we've all known each other since high school. You know, you got Andy. You know, you got Lil, Keon, and then you got some of the young guys that's out there putting up numbers too. So, it's a lot of guys in this room. MVS being an OG, Mac being an OG. You know, I'm going into my fifth year, so I'm kind of a vet. Just learning, but you can always learn from everybody. And I just think, you know, everybody has a chance. You know what I mean? And everybody makes plays. So we got a deep room.
Yeah. One of those guys, Mac Hollins, barefoot? What is that all about? Are you taking that up a little?
Hey, look, whatever he like. Look, I start walking around a little bit barefoot on the field, but not, you know, that's his thing. So he likes that and likes being grounded, and that's comfortable with him. So, hey, as long as he don't wear them in the bathroom, I'm cool with me.
On game day, though, is he going to wear, like, I see what he's wearing on the practice field. Doesn't look like what you would see on a standard football field.
We'll see when that snow comes. We'll see if he wears shoes.
KJ Hamler, Buffalo Bills wide receiver, joining us. Joe Brady, this is his first full camp, actually, as offensive coordinator. So this offense, how would you describe it? You've been in other systems in Denver and Indy. Yeah. Is it difficult to pick up?
You know, I would say the first time coming here in OTAs, it was a little bit difficult. But once you know, I'm not a visual learner. I have to write stuff down. So I'm a repetition type guy. So I have to do it a lot of times. Once I figure it out, I figure it out. But it's easier now. Like, I don't think as much. You know, I just go out there and play fast and do what I came here to do. So his key thing is everybody eats, and that's literal.
Yesterday during practice, it felt like everybody ate. The offense looked good yesterday. Take us back to day one of training camp and just how sharp the offense looked. You made a couple of nice plays, and I saw a touchdown pass by Josh Allen.
I had me one little tug, you know. Just, you know, I think when everybody takes advantage of their opportunities, the opportunities will come more, you know. So, you know, you got to catch here, catch there, catch everywhere. You know, everybody's getting the ball in their hands, and everybody's making plays with it. So, you know, when Joe Brady says everybody eats, he means that literal. So I think that the first day went good. You know, we got to keep this up. You know, camp is going to get harder and harder. You know, when the pads come on, that's the fun part. You know, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, now you've had a few months to work with Josh here. I mean,
Did you have to turn up the speed gun on the, you know, like when you're catching on the jugs machine? How is it catching in that heat there, KJ?
Oh, no. You know, I think he got some touch to it, too. I think he know what to turn it on and turn it off, you know, but it's fluent. Like, it's nonchalant, just a cannon. So, you know, all the time I tell him, hey, if I'm going on the deep route, just throw it and I'll go get it. I'll go get it. So whatever you need.
We heard Josh was spending some spare time away from, you know, from the meeting rooms and the practice field with teammates playing this game, Catan. Is that what it's called? You know about this? You know anything about it? My point is,
is it like a Dungeons Dragon game?
It's a nerd game. KJ.
They were playing it last night.
They were playing the nerd
playing
game
it last night.
Yeah, right?
I told him I was going to get some Beyblades or something.
You got to do
some Bakugan.
All right, tell me what you're doing with your spare time here at camp.
Man, oh, what do I do?
You're not playing any nerd games.
I played NCAA a little bit. You know, I already won the Heisman.
Very good.
I already won the Heisman in my sophomore season.
Very good. Okay, so you're doing Dynasty mode?
Yeah, I'm doing Dynasty.
I love it.
You know, just vibing with the guys, you know, getting to know everybody. I like, this is very different. You know, wearing actual camp, it brings you back to, like, college days. And I just think getting to know different people. You know, I'm chilling with the O-line. I'm chilling with the defensive line, linebackers. You know, people that you wouldn't, you know, necessarily be with every day. So I think that's the cool part, just getting to know all these personalities, because this is probably one of the coolest teams I've been around, just personality-wise.
Yeah, and I imagine, and that's why Sean McDermott goes away to camp. Yeah. Is this your first pro team where you've gone away to camp, right? Denver was on site.
Well, you know, my first few years, we were in our own houses because of COVID and
right,
stuff like
yep.
that. But, yeah, and then the last year I was with Denver, we did the hotel stuff, but I've never... This feels just like college, and I think that makes it fun, though.
Yeah.
I think it makes it fun walking around campus, enjoying it, and just back to your old days. So, yeah, it's exciting.
KJ Hamler, who I can picture you doing ESPN or NFL Network or something like
that.
You were a journalism major at Penn State. Is that still the plan after football for you?
Hey, I'd love to get my face on that TV screen if it's acting. My dad always said he wanted me to go act. So, look, I could be comedian, whatever you need me to be. You know, I just want to be myself. Just be able to be myself, and I'll be fine.
Now, you got the Penn State roots. Have you spent any time with Mr. Pegula?
Man, Mr. P is a funny guy.
Like, oh, you have?
He's a funny guy. We spend more time at OTAs. I know we've been kind of busy with you know, camp going on,
yeah.
But Mr. P, he always talks to me, pats me on the shoulder. He'll be like, he'll come up from behind me and be like, what are you always yapping about? And I'm like, my bad, Mr. P. You know I talk a lot. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Mr. P's a cool guy. He's very quiet, but, you know, once you get to talk to him and know him, he's a fun guy.
KJ Hamler, KJ short for College Kobe.
Ooh,
does anybody anybody still
works
call
for the FBI?
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
you don't have to share anything, KJ.
It's crazy. A lot of people who really know me and grew up with me call me by my real name. So like when my aunt calls me KJ, like I looked at her, I'm like, who are you talking to? Like my grandmother called me KJ one time, and I'm like, Granny, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like you never called me that a day in your life. So only the people who really grew up with me and grew up around me call me that, but you know, I don't let a lot of people call me that. You know, Josh called me that one time and I looked at him crazy, but I'm like, I gotta be his best friend right now, so I'll let you slide. I'll let you slide.
KJ, man, it's great having you on with us. Welcome to training camp.
Thank you
for making time for us.
Appreciate you.
And man, thank you for sharing your story as well. I think we're all gonna be pulling for you.
Thank you.
Wish you the best success. Stay healthy this camp.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Buffalo Bills wide receiver KJ Hamler in the Ace Swim and Leisure hot seat earlier today here live from St. John Fisher University Buffalo Bills training camp.
What a fun guy. And it you do need different personalities. And where do I see him fitting in? Well, let's just start baseline here. It's an upgrade over Andy Isabella. Andy Isabella was on the practice squad. They elevated him for a few games for a return. I do think that's his best chance to make this team, because if we're doing the exercise here, it's, you know, put the top three in order.
Shakir, right? Coleman, and Samuel.
Right.
MVS.
Now.
Max Collins. Five. If you're talking about a sixth.
I think he's the sixth right now.
I think you could do worse than KJ Hamler. I'll be pulling for him. I love that guy. You know what? And this is a team that has shown here through the course of the Sean McDermott era that they can take guys that have been jettisoned from other teams or practice squad guys and find them a role, get them on the field. We saw it with guys like Isaiah McKenzie as an example. You know, had a nice year with Buffalo. So I feel like they'll if Hamler, with that positive attitude, given everything that he's been through, and man, we forget, like, players that came up through the pandemic and came into the league through the pandemic. Different experience. I mean, how much that period of time changed the way so many people go about their day, whether you're talking about kids in school, professional athletes coming into the NFL, whatever it is, you know, that affected him as well as far as his early experiences. And see, he's only 25 years old.
I remember KJ Hamler, Trace McSorley over the top, boom, touchdown, long touchdown against Ohio State. His freshman year at Penn State, he breaks Saquon Barkley's single-season record for all-purpose yardage.
Yeah.
And he's only 25. So, he shouldn't wash out of the league. This is somebody that was a second-round pick and has been battling injury. Now he's finally healthy.
Yeah, and somebody that after having that conversation and hearing everything that he's gone through, somebody will be pulling for through the course of the season. And whether it's here or elsewhere, hard not to like a guy like KJ Hamler, who just shared some of his most intimate details with us here as far as his journey to the Buffalo Bills. Really enjoyed that conversation. Now, we spent more time earlier today with Josh Reed from WIVB in Buffalo. Wanted to get his thoughts on yesterday's practice while we had him here on with us this morning, and also talk about, you know, his observations here through the course of the offseason as the Bills prepare for their preseason schedule here, and Josh Reed will be a big part of how you consume Bills preseason football because of his pre- and post-game coverage around Bills games during the preseason. So Josh Reed from WIVB in Buffalo will be stopping by the Sports Bar next. We'll also check in with CBS Sports' Evan Washburn. He'll be stopping by in the 4 o'clock hour as well. We have time for your calls at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.